Committee on Ways and Means. And we'll open a hearing on House Bill 5052. And before we get into the hearing, I'd like to ask our LFO staff to share with us the materials that he has laid out for us this morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only materials that I have for you today is I have distributed on this buff-colored paper an agenda for the remainder of the week. Senator Messerly had requested this yesterday. This will be the remaining time that the subcommittee has scheduled for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission budget. As you can see, today you have public testimony scheduled. Tomorrow you have scheduled to hear the governor's recommendation for the budget for that agency, as well as some detailed information from the agency on the Office of Degree Authorization and their loan program. On Thursday, there will be the remainder of the presentation from the agency where they will talk about their grant program. But please note that also on Thursday, there's been an item that's added, House Bill 2650. You are scheduled for a public hearing and work session on that bill at the start of Thursday's meeting. What this bill is it's a bill that is designed to address some concerns that have arisen as a result of the shift that was approved in the final state school fund payment. That's not working out as planned for schools, and House Bill 2650 is designed to address that issue.
Okay. Thank you very much. And are there any questions or comments for Mr. Bender? Before we get into the public hearing, and good morning to everyone, I would just like to inform you that some of our committee members are involved in other meetings this morning, and so may not be able to attend this hearing. We are eager to hear your testimony and just very pleased that so many of you could be here. We have the sign-up sheets, and if we missed anyone, we want to let you know that there will be ongoing opportunities to sign up over the course of the hearing. We will run until 10:30. And as we call you up, I would ask that you present your testimony in 3 to 5 minutes, if at all possible. If someone else has already made your comments, you might nod or even wave your hand to let us know that you agree with what has been said. So with that, I'm going to first call up Sarah Sutton, Jen Baldwin, and Tyler Warren, if they would all three come up.
Just let me know, okay?
Okay, who would like to start?
I would.
Please.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Sutton, and I'm a senior at Willamette. And before I begin, I've got to make one disclosure. I'm an intern for the governor, and I am representing myself and not him. So this is totally on my own. I was asked to testify about 3 weeks ago before I had the internship, and basically I was asked to talk about what the Opportunity Grant has done for me. I am a totally independent student. I receive no aid from my family whatsoever. Without the money, I would not be able to go to Willamette, and really even a public institution would be questionable. I chose Willamette in the end because the financial aid package was such that it made it possible for me to further my education. my junior year. See, they don't tell you little things like if you work too much, you lose your needs-based grant. So I worked too much, and I lost my grant. And so I know full well what it is like to lose that money. And it was a really tough year. I actually had chosen to go abroad that year for one semester, and ironically, it was a good thing that I did because it wound up saving me about $10,000, and I was able to continue with my education. But at the end of my sophomore year, I was in tears in the financial aid office trying to figure out how I could continue going to school because it wasn't going to happen at that point. In the future, as I said, I'm a senior, and so my need for this grant is gone after this year. And in some ways, I'm glad that it is because it opens it up for other students who need it to step in. I continue to further my education. I plan to get a PhD in public policy and someday become a college professor. But, you know, that would not have happened if I hadn't have received the opportunity grant.
May I ask, what is your internship in the governor's office focused on?
I'm assisting the communications area.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Please.
Good morning, Chair Gordley and members of the committee. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today. For the record, my name is Tyler Warren. My address is 1809 Southwest 11th Avenue, apartment number 102, Portland, Oregon, 97201. I'm currently a student at Portland State University, and I also received the Oregon Opportunity Grant. For the last 3 years, the Oregon Opportunity Grant has enabled me to attend school and receive a college education. Receiving this grant has provided me access to higher education. Last year, when I transferred to Portland State University from a community college, my mother was unemployed for 6 months. Due to the lack of funding at PSU, my mother was expected to take out a loan of over $8,000. Without some limited support from my grandparents, my mother and I would not be able to afford attending Portland State University. During my college education, I have worked in numerous part-time jobs that pay close to minimum wage. These jobs have provided limited funding for my living expenses and personal needs. And currently, I'm working in the financial aid office at PSU. And I often encounter students who have thousands of dollars of unmet need because of limited funding for education in Oregon. These students are very worried that they will not be able to attend school much longer, and many have over $10,000 of loans. It is very disheartening to see so many students struggling to attend school. A college education is a very important learning experience to me, and a college education is what will help me find a job when it comes to start my career. With a college education, I will gain the knowledge needed to contribute and work for the community. My long-term goals are to work for the rights and services of people with disabilities in a nonprofit organization. With the help that the Oregon Opportunity Grant has provided me for the last 3 years, I'm expected to graduate in June with a bachelor's degree. This coming fall, I will start a master's degree program in public administration with a specialty in nonprofit management. When I'm done with my degree, I hope to work to ensure that people with disabilities have opportunities like I have had by receiving the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Without this grant, I know it would not have been possible to attend a university in Oregon, and the grant has provided me access to become a more educated person and helped me to gain valuable knowledge that I can bring to the community. Again, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today.
Quick question, Madam Chair.
Certainly.
How much a year is your grant?
At the start of this year, it started out at $1,254, and then they lowered it, I believe, about $104 a term. Maybe it's $114 a term.
And the total cost of your education for the year?
It's around $15,000, including living expenses, tuition and books and supplies.
Thank you very much.
Jen Baldwin.
Good morning, Chair Gordley, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jennifer Baldwin. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in front of you today. You have my written testimony, so I'm not going to reread that for you, but I'm here to let you know how important the Oregon Opportunity Grant is to me and to students like me. I'm the student body president of Portland Community College's largest campus, PCC Sylvania. I am a returning student, as you may be able to tell. I am 35 years old and returning to school after 17 years of being out. And the only way I could do that is through our community colleges It's an excellent opportunity and an affordable opportunity. You should know that I come from a background filled with challenges, including, pardon me, a home of neglect and abuse, sadly, like many children these days do. And I apologize for not being more.
You're doing fine.
Thank you.
Just take a moment.
Thank you. But I know that many Oregon Opportunity Grant students have more significant obstacles and challenges than I do. And the Oregon Opportunity Grant helps us be able to afford our educations and overcome those challenges and obstacles. For example, I'll use myself as an example. I have 84 credits at a 4.0 GPA. In addition to participating in student government, which is a paid job that also helps fund my school, it is between 20 and 30 hours per week. I'm a member of the Phi Theta Kappa National Honor Society, and I'll be honored here April 25th by Governor Kulongoski because I'm also an Oregon scholar. I volunteer to teach people how to use computers. I'm a computer science major, and my goal is to provide technological-based tech support to a coalition of nonprofits so that when I get my computer science degree, I can give some things back to the community and hopefully be able to afford funding PCC Foundation scholarships. I would just like to reiterate that the Oregon Opportunity Grant is an excellent way for students to fund their educations, and as a student at PCC, and I believe I speak for PCC students, we support funding of the Oregon Opportunity Grant. I apologize for being so emotional, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, and there's always room for emotion in this process. Congratulations on all of your accomplishments. Congratulations to all of those who testified on this first panel on your accomplishments. Are there any questions or comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
The next panel will include Dustin Cosby, Joe Johnston, or Johnson, I'm sorry, and President Jay Barber.
You got me up to the president's point.
Let me back up. Let's see. It's Joe Johnson, who is president of Clackamas Community College. And President Jay Barber, president of Warner Pacific College. And Dustin, okay? Good morning. Please.
Good morning. Do you want me to start with let off student? Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, Senator Gordley and the other members of the committee, I want to thank you for allowing me as well to be here testifying on behalf of the Oregon Opportunity Grant. For the record, my name is Dustin Cosby, and I am a recipient of the Oregon Opportunity Grant, and I'm from Oregon Community
College. Pardon me, Madam Chair. I can't hear.
If you could lean forward a bit and just speak up.
Sure.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you very much.
Do you need me to repeat what I said?
No, go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, I'll briefly touch on what I had written down here as far as my testimony goes. As I did write, I attend Rogue Community College, and I'm a full-time student, which means that I take 12 units or more a term, which is a requirement for the Oregon Opportunity Grant. I was born in Oregon here, but I was raised down in California, but I've come back about 3 years ago. During my first term at RCC, I was just involved in just taking normal classes, and then after about 2 years, I got involved in student government. Presently, I'm the student body president at one of our campuses in Rogue, and I'm also a member of the Oregon Community College Student Association. Like many students who receive the Oregon Opportunity Grant, I have quite a bit of time that is invested in different things, whereas I am single and I do not have a family of my own, as a majority of the Oregon Opportunity Grant recipients do. Because of my student body president position, I'm required to do 10 hours a week in my office, about 12 units for 12 units or more. You're talking about 20 hours a week that a student spends in classroom. In addition to that, there's about 5 hours of homework per week. being an OCCSA board member requires me to come up to the Salem-Portland area about 1 week and per month. So all in all, with all of these items here, I spend about 60 hours a week between these different items, between school and the things that I'm a part of. In addition to that, I do work, but as you imagine, it's fairly difficult to find a job that works around what I do have. So I homeschool my adopted brothers and sisters. And I want to share with you about them, not to bring them in to make you sad, but for you to understand some of the values that are different for different students. And whereas my situation may seem unique to me, each situation that a student has is unique to them, and so they are all unique. I am an only child, but my parents adopted four medically fragile children after we did foster care for a number of years. Two of them have cystic fibrosis, which is a life-threatening illness, and the life expectancy is about 25. One of the other ones was born with was diagnosed with colon cancer at age 3. He has a quarter of his intestines left. And the last child was born with 80 blockages in his intestines, and he has a quarter of his intestines left as well. And when we first got these kids, I thought, wow, you know, I get to have a brother and sister, because I didn't have one growing up. But now I realize that I get to be one, and that means almost more to me. And as I spend time with these children, which are very important to me, I realize that I've been given something that they have not, and that's a prolonged life. And so I want to do something with that life that I have that they are not going to have, which is why I'm enrolled in school, and I hope to become a teacher and work with special ed. And it's very difficult to weigh working at the school 60 hours a week and having a full-time job versus the amount of time that you have to spend with a child who is not going to live as long as I have. And so what I try and do is I try and spend that time with those children. And the Oregon Opportunity Grant allows me to be able to do that because it helps to pay for my schooling. And I know that there are a lot of other recipients out there who do have children of their own, and these are things that they face that your stereotypical college student does not. And so that's my personal testimony. But as a responsibility to my community college as well, I do have to represent the students who attend there as well. Just to give you an example of the impact that we're talking about as far as the Oregon Opportunity Grant being there or not, for the fall 02 term at Rogue Community College, we had about 2,200 students who were attending full-time. And again, that means 12 units or more. Of those 2,200 students, 751 received the Oregon Opportunity Grant. So you're talking about over 30% of the students that were enrolled in that O2, the fall O2 term, were recipients of that. And that was it'll be $140,000 that's supplied to students at RCC during this year. And I think that that's a substantial amount of money for students. And at a state level, and I'm sure that somebody will touch on this later on, but for the 2001-2002 year, over 9,000 students received the Oregon Opportunities Grant, and over $6 million was provided. And there's one last thing that I want to add in here, and I was informed of this recently, and I'm not sure whether or not the members of the committee are aware of this, but in addition to the funds that are provided, the federal government does not match, but it provides money as well. And so I think it's a $2 to 1 ratio. And so when you're talking about this grant, you're not talking about just Oregon money. You're talking about federal money as well that the students will lose out on if you do not, if this grant does not keep in existence. So I do want to thank you again for your time, allowing me to come and speak to you today.
Thank you, Mr. Cosby. You'll make a wonderful teacher.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
This isn't really a question, but Dustin, I know how far it is for you to come up here, and you and I have talked before, since you're basically from my district, although you're a little bit outside of it. I know we're in the same area, and I appreciate you coming this far and being so eloquent. And I also have a great respect for you for what you're doing with your family. That is a huge burden for you to take on, and you're taking part of that. And it's people like you that really make our society work, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. Representative Bates.
That was remarkable testimony. Thank you. President Barber.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Senator Gordley and members of the committee, I'm here today representing the 17 colleges and universities of the Oregon Independent College Association. Of our 17 schools, 14 of them do undergraduate instruction, and so they have students. We have students who would benefit from the opportunity grant. We're very well aware of the financial challenges. the financial challenges that you're facing in your roles here in Salem, and we respect that greatly. However, we're very concerned about the long-term issues of access for our neediest and most deserving students. Over the history of just the last few years is that we've seen a decline from one-third to one-half of the students who were formerly eligible for the opportunity grant to no longer being eligible for that because of the cutoffs and the changes in the eligibility formula to try to trim the cost back. And that really translates to really meaning to those students that in the cases such as yours, no longer being able to attend school. It can become that important. The average grant for our schools averages just below $3,000 for each student, and so that is significant. One of the myths that that we battle always is that only students from very affluent families attend Oregon's private colleges and universities, and that simply is not the case. In fact, recent studies indicated that the average earnings of families with students enrolled in private colleges is slightly less than those enrolled in the state system. That doesn't include the community colleges, but just those in the state system. And so it's important to us to see the funding for the opportunity and grant not only remain stable, but increase in the coming years. And that's been our consistent request. Your committee and ultimately the legislature is going to deal with over $1 billion of funds relating to higher education. And what we're talking about here in light of that is only about $35 million. But I want to just underscore to you how important this is to our individual students to be able to remain in school, to complete their educational objectives, and go out and make a difference in our region. Thank you for the hard work that you're doing. I know you have tough decisions to make, but we want to be sure that you understand that this really translates down to individual students here in the state of Oregon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, President Barber.
I have some items to leave behind as well.
Thank you very much. President Johnson.
Yes, for the record, I'm Joe Johnson, president of Clackamas Community College, and I'm testifying on behalf of Oregon's community college system. Senator Gordley, thank you for having this opportunity to hear the testimony. Representative Smith, our representative, it's good to see you this morning.
Good to see you, and thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I know we're talking about Oregon's opportunity grants this morning, but I want to go back in history for a moment because it's very important to understand the impact of the changes that are taking place and the impact on students. If you go all the way back to ballot measure 5, an enormous shift began to occur away from the Oregon's property tax system. Clackamas Community College began to reduce programs and began to initiate layoffs in 1991. That was followed up by layoffs in 1992, 1993, 1995, 1997, and currently we're laying off another 10 employees at our institutions. I simply pass that along in terms of what's beginning to happen in terms of our budget and how we budget internally and the reliance we're beginning to have on tuition. In the last legislative session, as we entered this last biennium, some $462 million was appropriated for our community colleges in our state. In the second session, that was reduced by $13.8 million. In the fifth session, that was reduced by $2.9 million.
The governor did an across-the-board reduction, which reduced our funding by $4.6 million, leaving us $440 million. Ballot Measure 28 failed, and another $14 million was reduced in state funding down to $426 million. The governor has come out with a new biennium budget for the next biennium at $407 million, and now we fear that will go down. We now have less funding per student than we had 5 years ago. The consequence of this is the more students we have, the more money we lose. And what is happening is that we're passing all of these costs along in terms of tuition increase. We currently at Clackamas are at $43 per credit hour, and I drew a line in the sand and I said under no circumstances would we go above 49 as we set the rates for summer and fall. I had to go back. We're having a board meeting Wednesday, and I'll have to recommend a tuition rate at 51. Most of my fellow institutions are looking at the $60 range. The only difference between Clackamas and the others, we haven't funded the full PERS increase, and if we fund that, we'll have to go up into the $60 range. We're talking about the door shutting. We're talking about at my institution, I have a 17% enrollment increase right now. By the end of the quarter, I'll have no enrollment increase because I can't add a class because we have no funds for that. The door on access is closing in Oregon, and we're placing the burden on our students who are least able to pay for the increases that are being passed through. I understand we're in a recession, but we have to plan for the future. There have been recessions before in this nation, and each recession has evolved into a new period of growth. Young people must feel the American dream and understand the American dream, which is that if they sacrifice, there will be a better tomorrow. If we close the door on the American dream, we close the door on our future. I've thought a lot about the fact that as you sit here as legislators, you must face groups that are talking about life and death decisions. Well, these are life and death decisions for the young people. And they're the ones who are in the labor force. And as we train them and they come out as nurses, as they come out as dental hygienists and other things in an economical training package, they're the ones who will pay the taxes. They're the ones who will build our future. And we must invest in them. If nothing else, we must have a policy decision that as a state, if we're going to move into an era of high tuition, we must have high financial aid if we are not to exclude large numbers of people from the opportunity for higher education. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that compelling testimony. Thank you.
Comment?
Representative Smith.
Thank you, President Johnson, coming to testify. I saw the Oregonian article yesterday. Clackamas Community College will be raising tuition, and you've also done made other efforts, cost-saving efforts along the way. I want to say that you're just not raising tuition. You've tried to trim. You're not giving raises. You're not filling positions, and I think that's something that your staff, your academia, are very concerned about the quality of education, and they're willing to forego some of those benefits and stuff to keep the quality education at your institution, and they are to be commended, and thank you for that. It's a tough situation we're in, and everybody's doing what they can so we can get through it.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you all. The next panel will include Jen Manley, Dan Preston, Samuel Cawley. And Ms. Manley, if you would like to start, I understand that you're under a time constraint.
Oh, okay. Work schedules.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Chair Gordley, members of the committee, my name is Jennifer Manley. I'm a senior at Western Oregon University, and I'm here today as a representative of the Associated Students of Western Oregon University and also as a recipient of the Oregon Opportunity Grant. I'm here today to emphasize the impact that the Oregon Opportunity Grant has had on my post-secondary education. As a first-generation college student in my family, being provided the Opportunity Grant has given me the ability to continue my education. I honestly do not believe that I would be where I am today without the Opportunity Grant. With the grant, I'm currently about $15,000 in debt, give or take, from trying to attain my college degree. I'm from a low-income family in Gresham, Oregon. My father's unemployed. My mother works three-quarter time to support she and my father and my unmarried sister, who's expecting a baby in a couple weeks. So first addition to the family. It's pretty exciting. With an immediate family and extended family with no education past the high school diploma, you can see I have very few resources for funding my education. Therefore, myself and others at Western Oregon rely entirely on financial aid and grants such as this to get through. I'm very, independent with my financial aid. I have to file everything. My parents obviously can't co-sign for anything, so it's been very challenging for me to get to where I am today. If this grant were to be taken away, I think there are many others such as myself who would not be able to continue a post-secondary education. And I know that's kind of a broad statement, but for me, I know in my case it's true, but I would not be able to get through. So I just want to thank you for letting me testify today and speak for one of 758 students at Western Oregon who received the Oregon Opportunity Grant. And just let you know that as this first-generation college student in my family, it's just my goal to be a good role model for this new baby coming into our family and to make a change in my family, and I think my college education is going to do that. So thank you.
Thank you, and I believe Representative Smith has a question.
Just a quick question. Thank you. I think you're to be commended for the fight that you're putting up. I understand your situation. What is your major?
I'm a psychology major, minoring in special education, but I'd like to pursue my graduate work next year in educational leadership. So
excellent.
I'm a student leader at Western Oregon and really enjoy being a leader, obviously not only for my family members, but for other students as well. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, it's obvious that you are a leader, and we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please.
Good morning. Senator Gordley, committee members, I want to thank you for your time, giving me this opportunity to speak to you briefly. I'm Dan Preston. I'm the Dean of Enrollment Management and Director of Financial Aid at Linfield College. I speak on behalf of all the students, not only at Linfield, but others at state schools and community colleges, just to say thank you. The Oregon Opportunity Grant does make a difference in students' lives. Quickly about Linfield, it's a residential college in McMinnville, but we also have a nursing school in Portland, and we also run adult degree completion programs around the state. So we try to cover as many bases as we can. 70% of our students are from Oregon, which there's a perception, I think, that private schools serve a large percentage of out-of-state students, and our largest percentage is in-state. 200 of our students received Oregon Opportunity Grants this year. Our Oregon Opportunity Grant recipients graduate and retain at a higher rate than our average students. So we're really, I think, for the amount of money invested in these students, I think we're getting some value for that, because those students are good students, are staying, they're graduating from Linfield. Linfield, University of Portland, and Oregon Health Sciences University are the only three colleges in the state that offer the Bachelor of Science in Nursing. Two of those are private, so it's a very significant contribution to the state to be running a nursing program because of the need for nurses. And I submitted testimony a couple of years ago that highlight 3 points, and I just want to state those quickly again. Grant size is a priority. How do we keep up with uniform, consistent percentage of costs? How do we continue to help meet rising costs? Year-round funding. We in the financial aid community just think that year-round funding, a student who applies in December because they need to go to school next spring, doesn't have any less need than a student who's applied last month. So it's really, that would be a priority for us. Family income eligibility. As you know, the plan for the next 2 years is to drop the eligibility from 75% of median income to 55%, which is significant. We've calculated that about 40% of our NEED grant recipients would lose eligibility. Currently receiving the funds may not receive it next year, or won't receive it next year based on the new formula. You have the rest of my testimony. I just want to add a couple of points. My long-term concern is students are going to leave this state. They're going to go somewhere else to receive their education, and statistics show that those students don't come back, that the majority of students who leave a state for higher education tend to stay in that state, and I worry about that. I know the short-term priorities. I read the papers. I see the numbers don't work out well for the state, but long-term, how can we address keeping our best students of minimal financial means in this state and educate them here, keep them here? I don't have an answer, and I look forward to seeing how your work and your challenges this spring pan out. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak, and good luck. We'll be thinking about you.
Thank you, Mr. Preston. And some of us would say that a part of the answer is tax reform, tax restructuring now. And so if you support that, stay tuned. Mr. Cawley?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Senator Gordley. I'm Sam Cawley, Executive Director of Admissions Records and Financial Aid at Portland State University, and I'm representing Dr. Bernstein here today. I'll just make a couple of points. Dan stole my thunder a little bit, so I want to give a little bit of a context, if I can. This year at Portland State University, our undergraduate resident cost of education was $14,606. When we started out this year, the opportunity grant in our sector was $12,054, and we had to cut winter and spring portions of that, and that the grant now for the year is $1,026. When we started out the year, the grant was 8.6% of cost, and currently it's about 7% of cost. And the target, as you may well know, is in our sector is about 11% of cost. So it has gone down considerably over time. Also, in the last 4 years, I looked at some data last night, and the grant, the amount of money at our school has stayed relatively constant. In 1999, 2000, we awarded and students received $1,650,891 in opportunity grant. This year I'm projecting, with spring disbursements still to be made, $1,643,303. And the amount of students is basically stable also. So at a time when we are seeing more and more students this year, we have about 12,600 students on aid currently, and about 1,650 students on the opportunity grant. And a lot of that has to do with the point that Dan was making about the cutoff date. We are still seeing students apply for at this point in the year. Many of these students are very needy. Unfortunately, at this point in time, we offer them Pell Grant and loan only. The last point I would make is that I just read a study on the American Association of State Colleges and Universities website stating that the average debt load for public university students is now $15,500. That's an approximate number. At Portland State, I'm projecting $16,500. So the opportunity grant is a very, very important part of our packaging, and does help students defray some loan debt at some point. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks to all of the panelists. Let me also say something at this point in further response to the comment from Mr. Preston. The Oregon Constitution does require the Legislative Assembly to balance a budget. That is our constitutional obligation. But that same Constitution in Article 9, which is the section on finance, sections 2 and 6, also says that when there are insufficient funds to operate government services, the legislature shall levy a tax. That is also in the Constitution. So I would just serve that as a reminder to you and to everyone within the hearing of my voice to hold your legislators accountable for doing their full job. And that's a comment from this legislator. Next panel includes, and I need to see if there are people here who've traveled more than 100 miles. Is there anyone here who's traveled more than 100 miles? Okay, we need to hear, make sure that we hear from you first. So if those three people in the back of the room would just come forward. You're not testifying? Okay, great. Vincent Hawthorne? And Kate Peterson and Jim Eddy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Hawthorne.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
First of all, I'm not as oratorically gifted as those that have preceded me, but I'll give it a shot anyway.
For the record?
For the record, my name is Vincent Hawthorne. I'm a student at Chemeca Community College, and I'm here representing the Black Student Union of Chemeca Community College. Being a recipient of the Oregon Grant has helped me return to school to make myself become a commodity to this state. I was undereducated to continue in the workforce at this stage of my life. To eliminate this grant would mean disaster to my livelihood. I read daily in the paper how this administration is seeking to draw in new business to this community and to this state, and I want to make sure that I am a marketable commodity when these new businesses arrive. Without furthering my education, I am of no use. I'm not a taxpaying citizen. My concern, I'm aware that this administration is facing many tough decisions in the coming weeks and months. But this economic shipwreck cannot be righted on the backs of the disenfranchised and the poor. We need to look at other avenues of trying to balance budgets and to make sure that educational opportunities are available to not only us but to the children behind us. If I was the CEO of a company and I was contemplating moving my business or a sector of my business into this state, I would have to reconsider moving into a state that it leads the nation in hunger, that doesn't seem from the outside to put a premium on education and health care cuts. So my workforce would consist of people that are hungry, sick, with no educational opportunity. So again, I'm very sympathetic to the tough decisions that face you in the future, but we have to look to other ways. I hope you go back into your communities and your hamlets and let people know that in your bigger cities, people are struggling, people are trying, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hawthorne. Yes.
Senator Gordley and committee members, I'm Kate Peterson. I'm the Director of Financial Aid and Scholarships at Oregon State University, and I'm here representing Dr. Tim White, President of OSU. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today on behalf of the Oregon Opportunity Grant and the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. At Oregon State University, over 2,100 students receive the Oregon Opportunity Grant. And these are students who are among our very neediest of students. These are not only Beavers, but they're high achievers. Our average grade point average for current recipients on the Oregon Opportunity Grant is 2.95, cumulative grade point average at OSU. And I also want you to know that the majority of our students work at least one part-time job, many students more than one. The value of the grants has eroded over time, and the current year with the cuts in the value of the Oregon Opportunity Grant and the lack of funding, our current funding level at OSU is similar to where we were 4 years ago in 1999-00. This is happening at a time when enrollment is growing, students' need is growing, and other opportunities are no longer available to students. There are not a lot of jobs available in Corvallis for students in order to make the difference between their average $3,200 of unmet need and the reduction in financial aid that's available to them at a time when costs are going to continue to climb. Students are beginning to complain to our staff that they're spending more time worrying about money than they are about grades. How much longer will our students be able to maintain their academic success and an average grade point average of 2.94 if they're spending more time concerned about getting jobs and paying off college debt than they are about their academics? To wrap this up, OSU is supportive of funding for the Oregon Opportunity Grant at the recommended, or the, excuse me, the OSAC board recommendations, realizing that in the next biennium we have a very difficult situation. But we would like to support an ultimate goal for the Oregon Opportunity Grant that would adopt funding for all eligible applicants, strive to reach 15% of cost, and standardize the income eligibility requirements between dependent and independent students. Without this funding, we are just continuing a cycle of poverty for students whose only hope to better themselves and reach their full potential is to get a good education. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Jim Eddy, and I'm the Director of Financial Aid at Willamette University. I'm also the president of the Oregon Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators, and I serve on the advisory committee with several of my colleagues for the Oregon Opportunity Grant, and I also serve on the advisory committee to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. And through these different professional involvements, I endeavor to provide a widely shared consensus view of the challenges facing this program, and not merely the perspective of Willamette or of my own independent segment. The Opportunity Grant program, from our financial aid administrator perspective, is in trouble. It was an agonizing experience for the Opportunity Grant Advisory Committee to review the variety of options presented to it, as less money was made available for educational grants to needy Oregonians than in the previous biennium, while eligible applicant numbers have soared. The commission was equally conflicted as they wrestled with the Advisory Committee's recommendations. While trying to keep at least some families still in the grant program and ensuring that students who filed their aid applications after the month of January at least had a shot at potential eligibility. The budget note report has already spoken clearly to the question of whether or not the Opportunity Grant program makes a difference. It does, and I think that's been established. Perhaps our focus can now shift to the next set of questions and challenges, one of which I would suggest is this. How ready will Oregon be to face the changing demographics of needy Oregonians coming down the line in this decade? So not a broadly based future question, but what's going to happen in the next 7 years in terms of demographics and the demands that that demographic will place on financial aid programs and higher education programs. Even a brief review of the current data in Oregon high schools and Oregon population demographics suggests that in this decade, overwhelmingly, we will have a large Hispanic American applicant population for those who choose to stay in school. Overwhelmingly, this group is fully qualified to enter college. No question about that. And unfortunately, overwhelmingly, the same demographic group is economically disadvantaged and will not have support on their own without significant state grant support to be able to stay in school in Oregon if they choose to do that to pursue their higher education plans. So the long-term cost of fully funding the Opportunity Grant program is significant, but it's a fraction of the economic cost to the state of what we will experience if we don't make that investment. So in this era of difficult decisions, I would encourage you to think about not only the current struggles that our students are very eloquently talking about today, but how those struggles will become manifest in the changing face of the population through now and the end of this decade. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for your very fine testimony. Harvey Matthews, Gary Andine, Grattan Kearns. Good morning, and Mr. Matthews, would you like to start?
Thank you, Chair Gordley. Good morning. For the record, I'm Harvey Matthews. I work with Associated Oregon Industries, which began in 1895 as an organization to promote Oregon products. Today, it's the largest business association, representing over 20,000 companies. Our member businesses employ over 325,000 of Oregon's private employees, and our members are highly dependent on the quality of education provided by Oregon's public schools. And for the record, I'm also a product of Oregon's universities, both private and public, and a recipient of the NEED grant at that time. Currently, Oregon ranks 50th in the nation for economic growth and has the highest, one of the highest unemployment rates in the nation. This is a huge concern to our members, and we believe that the lack of access to a post-secondary education results in disinvestments in Oregon's economy, both in an increased need for state assistance and a decrease in contributions to the state economy. Further, the returns on investment in higher education are higher than ever before for both individuals and society. The average cost per student per day is about $18.45, whereas the average annual contribution for a graduate to the Oregon economy is over $30,000. Over 69% of all Oregonians do not have a degree to rely on for their economic stability. And during tight times, it's important to fund education as Oregonians return to their community colleges and universities for retraining and education needed to return to work. And so for all of those reasons, we at Associated Oregon Industries are in support of House Bill 5052. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Matthews. Representative March.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Matthews, I wholeheartedly agree with your support of higher, you know, post-secondary education. How would you propose that we pay for it, since the bill as proposed is inadequate to meet the needs, current needs?
Well, it's a very difficult situation we find ourselves in, and many options are on the table, from, of course, raising revenues to making sure our government becomes more streamlined. And I don't envy your job at all. I would love to help you.
Thank you.
Well, I want to touch that. Mr. Kearns.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee. For the record, my name is Grattan Kearns, and I'm Director of Government Relations for the Oregon University System. I'm here today joining all those who have testified, and specifically joining my colleagues from the Community College Association, the Student Association, and the Independent College Association, in testifying in favor of the budget for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, and specifically the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Together, we represent the Opportunity Grant Funding Coalition, which seeks to make improving the funding and reach of the Opportunity Grant a priority for Oregon. We first began our discussions in the summer of 2001 with the Oregon Student Assistance Commission and the Commission staff about how to improve the prospects for Oregon's only state-financed, need-based financial aid. We had been spurred to action by the release 6 months before of the first National Higher Education Report Card measuring up 2000. In that report, Oregon was given a below-average grade of D- for affordability due to the high level of tuitions and the low level of state support for need-based aid. To begin to correct that situation, we resolved to formally endorse the OSAC's three biennial opportunity grant recovery plan to fund all grants, fund grants to all eligible students, increase the level of the grant to at least 15% of the student budget, and equalize the grant support between dependent and independent students. Today, we find ourselves before this subcommittee farther away from our goals than we were a year and a half ago. Because of the special session cuts to the OSAC budget and the taking of all but a few dollars from the Education Stability Fund, the Opportunity Grant has reached a funding level not seen in over a decade. When this retreat from need-based financial aid is coupled with the tuition increases experienced in the past 2 years, it was no wonder that Oregon sank to a grade of F in affordability in the second national report card measuring up 2002. But worse than the failing grade is the realization that appears to be no money available to this subcommittee to begin to repair the 2003-2005 biennium, in the 2003-2005 biennium, the damage done to the Opportunity Grant. In fact, it is still possible for things to get worse before you close this and other general fund budgets in spite of our collective desires for improvements now. But when the OSAC budget is approved and the new biennium begins, I wish to say on behalf of the State Board of Higher Education, Chancellor Richard Jarvis, and the institutions of the Oregon University system that it doesn't end there. Because it can't end there. Accepting this terribly inadequate level of funding and this retreat from assistance for so many thousands of eligible Oregon students would be to accept an Oregon of which we would all be ashamed. That would be an Oregon in which the opportunity for higher education was reserved to families and individuals with financial means above the average and denied to those of lesser means and lower economic status. It would be an Oregon in which students from families of two, three, or more generations of college graduates would accept enrollment in an Oregon institution of higher education as their due, while students from lower-income families with no history of college attendance but with a strong aversion to debt will select themselves out of consideration because of price, lack of aid, and the daunting level of borrowing needed to self-finance a college degree. That is a recipe for disaster for Oregon's family, civic, and economic life. It is a threat to the very notion of a quality of opportunity for all academically qualified Oregon students, regardless of their economic status. Because excluding low-income Oregonians, many of whom are from racial and ethnic minorities, undermines the very notion of a fair, open, and just society. That is why it doesn't end there. So we urge this subcommittee, we urge the members of this legislature, to do the very best you can now for the Oregon Opportunity Grant. And when you've done all you can, join us in the coalition and pledge with us to restore real opportunity for higher education for every eligible student, regardless of economic status. Pledge with us to find the money or get the money to give this new generation what preceding generations enjoyed. Pledge with us to end the national shame of failure which has marked our state. Open the door to higher education and allow all those in this new generation to once again renew Oregon with their knowledge, their talent, and their desire for success, just as we did in our day. That would be an Oregon each of us could be proud of, a place where equality of opportunity was made a reality and every Oregonian profited. Thank you for giving me the time to address the subcommittee.
Thank you. Senator Messerly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Kearns, I understand, I think the entire panel here understands the tremendous needs we have in Oregon. My question to you is, do you have a figure of how many dollars we're looking at if we fund all applicants at the 15%?
It would be approximately $37 million to reach all and another $27 million to extend it to 15%. I think that's correct, Karen.
Yeah,
something on that order.
So what was the figures again?
$37 million to fund a grant for those expected to be eligible in the next academic year and the year following, the next biennium, and then another $26 or $27 million in order to raise that to 15% of the student budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Andy?
Good
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Gary Ann Dean, the Executive Director of the Oregon Independent College Association. I'm going to be very brief because I want the other students to have a chance to testify this morning. I'm reminded of some wonderful speeches that Grattan Cairns gave on the floor some years ago, and today he just gave one that was just as eloquent as anything I've ever heard him give before, and I want to thank him for that. And I want to associate all the independent colleges and the low-income students at those institutions with those remarks. All I have for you today is a reaction to something that you heard yesterday during the opening testimony from the Scholarship Commission about how our grant program ranks 25th or 26th among the states, which makes it sound like we're about in the middle of the pack. If you look at the center column on that thing that I just passed out, you'll see we are 26th among the states. But if you turn the page, you'll see what that really looks like in terms of the actual size of the grant relative to what the average state need-based grant aid is around this country. You could double this grant. You could double the appropriation you gave to this organization 2 years ago before we started cutting it, and you would still not be up to the level of national mediocrity in what other states do to help low-income students. I just wanted to share that with you, that 26 does not mean that we are doing about average. We are doing well below average. And that's all I have today. I'll be around the rest of the week and certainly available for any questions.
Thank you. Questions or comments for the panel?
I do.
Representative Smith.
Mr. Andine, you know, for instance, just look on the high end of your chart, New York and Illinois and some of those. Why is New York so high, for instance? What are they doing in their state that makes it so attractive?
Representative Smith, Madam Chair, New York has had a long tradition of paying serious attention to low-income students in that state, and it has one of the finest, it has long had one of the finest tuition assistance need-based grant programs in the country. It's just something that they made a decision about decades ago.
How do they fund it?
Well, through the same way that we fund things here in Oregon, through the state general fund.
Now, what's their tax base?
I don't know.
How many different types of taxes do they have? Do they have property tax, income tax, sales tax? What is it? Do you know?
I've never lived there, but I wouldn't be surprised if New York has a lot of taxes.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll make a comment, Madam Chair.
Certainly, Representative March.
Well, I notice in the middle column where, Washington State does 420 compared to our 175, and a lot of people compare us to Washington and that. They don't have a income tax, but they have a sales tax. We don't have a sales tax, but they have an income tax. So we're each dependent on one, in essence. Mm-hmm. So we should probably at least try to hold ourselves to Pacific standards.
Well noted. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you very much. The next panel includes Julie, and please forgive me for mispronouncing the name, Suhanik. Please come forward. Andy Saltz. Lada Lacayo Gilmaro.
Gilman.
My apologies.
That was tough.
Let the students go first,
please.
All right. Chair Gordley and members of the committee, thank you for letting me speak. I'm Otto Lacayo Gilman, and I'm a student at Chemeketa College. And I'm in school for the second time. I had a career as a hairstylist for 25 years. Due to varicose veins, I could no longer stand on my feet for that long. So I'm of this age group. A lot of us are at Chemeketa that we're coming back to school for the second time, and thanks to the Oregon Opportunity Grant, I'm able to do this, and I'm really, really, really grateful because I really didn't want to just get a job as a cashier. I feel like I want to still do something with my life, and I'm a really good worker. I'm putting 100% into being a student, which is really exciting, and I see a lot of people doing that as well, and I'm in a really great surrounding. A lot of us are older students and depending on financial aid and still hoping to accomplish something with our lives. And the Oregon Opportunity Grant has made this possible. And I will be done in the spring of 2004. I go all year long. And I want to get through this. I want to get out and be a working person again. I'm just very grateful for the funding from the Oregon Opportunity Grant that I'm able to do this. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Please.
Chair Gordley, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Andy Saltz. I'm the vice chair for the Oregon Student Association and the chief of staff for the Associated Students of Oregon State University. The Oregon Student Association, which represents over 100,000 students from the seven public universities, Oregon Health and Science University, and Lane Community Colleges, urge you to prioritize the Oregon Opportunity Grant. The Oregon Opportunity Grant is the state's only need-based aid program targeting low-income students wishing to earn a post-secondary education. With the state budget shortfall in mind, students understand the difficult position you are in, but the Oregon Opportunity Grant is an essential safety net for Oregon's neediest students. Access to post-secondary education in Oregon is at risk. Tuition at our 2- and 4-year colleges is the second highest in the West and will continue to rise. The Oregon Opportunity Grant is not able to fund all eligible low-income students, and recent cuts will mean the loss of federal dollars. Oregon recently received an F in affordability in a report released by the National Center for Public Policy and Higher Education. This study was released before the current cuts in the Oregon Opportunity Grant and the increase in tuition. Providing access to higher education is critical for our state's future economic strength. Students with a bachelor's degree earn over $17,000 more than students with a high school diploma. However, with increasing tuition and the decreasing availability of need-based aid, low-income students are not presented with the same opportunities for a college degree. After financial aid is taken into account, low-income Oregonians have to pay 59 to 69% of their family income to cover the cost of post-secondary education. This is compared to 12 to 15% for students from upper middle-income families. Oregon cannot afford to price the most needy students out of a higher education. With the governor's budget, the Oregon Student Assistance Commission estimates that it could award the grant to 53% of eligible students, leaving 24,000 students unserved. Since the governor's budget was released, Senate Bill 855 has passed, emptying the Education Stability Fund. Interest from the Education Stability Fund went to the Oregon Opportunity Grant. The program will lose an additional $2.5 million in interest that was budgeted for the 2003-2005 biennia and $1.2 million in matching federal dollars because the fund was emptied. While students understand that the fund had to be emptied to solve the 2001-2003 budget shortfall, if money is not returned to the Oregon Opportunity Grant, approximately 3,600 additional students will not receive the grant, and the program will serve less than half of all eligible students. Earlier this year, the Oregon Student Association joined in a coalition with the Oregon Community College Association, Oregon University System, and the Oregon Independent College Association, calling on the legislature to fund all eligible students in 2003-2005, which would cost an additional $35 million. While we continue to hold this as a long-term goal, students understand it is not a possibility in the state's current budget situation. Our first priority is to maintain essential federal dollars that could serve over 1,000 students. The Oregon Student Association urges you to prioritize the Oregon Opportunity Grant and to do all you can to ensure federal matching funds for the program. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Please.
Good morning, Chair Gordley and members of the committee. My name is Julie Sahonik. I'm with the Oregon Community College Association, which represents Oregon's 17 community colleges, which serve over 400,000 Oregonians. We are here to testify today in support of funding for the Oregon Opportunity Grant program. This is particularly critical for community college students, which make up the largest recipient pool of the grant. We were served last year, over 9,000 community college students were served. We are also going to be the largest sector that will grow in the next year with about a 12% growth in applications from just the community college sector alone. So any changes and reductions done to this Oregon Opportunity Grant are particularly damaging to community college students who are at institutions that are focused and whose mission is oriented towards getting students the education and job training they need to get back out into the economy and work and be active citizens here in Oregon. And so I just wanted to emphasize the impact that this will have on our community college students, which, again, do make up the largest population. And if you, I'd be happy to take any questions that you have.
Thank you for your testimony.
I just make a comment, and that's if we received an F before we took money away, we're probably at F minus now. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Next panel, Gabe Kajos, Miriam Gonzalez, Jennifer Gaynor. And would you like to start, sir?
Sure. Chair Gordley, members of the committee, thank you very much for letting me testify, taking the time out of your busy schedules to hear testimony on this House bill and on the Oregon Opportunity Grant.
Tell us your name, please.
Sure, I can do that. my name is Gabe Chose, and I'm a sophomore at the University of Oregon. I'm also a representative of the Associate Students of the University of Oregon, and I am a current recipient of the Oregon Opportunity Grant. And I'm here today to give my full support of the House Bill 5052 and to give full support of the funding of the Oregon Opportunity Grant for the next biennium. And the Oregon Opportunity Grant is something very pertinent in my education and something that I feel very passionate about as a first-generation college student. Not only does it help tremendously with my financial ability to attend the University of Oregon, but it also, as you've heard today, helps thousands of students across the university, across the state of Oregon, who are in desperate need of financial need. And in order to understand the gravity of the situation and the funding of this grant, I would like to tell you my story about why I received the grant, because I think that personal stories really affect, instead of seeing the numbers, I want you to see how it really affects students and how it affects me as a person and how it affects my education. And so I've lived, up until my college education, I've lived with a single father who adopted me at the age of 6 and moved me up from California to our current home in Gresham, Oregon, when I was 12 years old. And since my father never went to college, the only job he's been able to find is one as a classified employee at a local school district, and which pays very minimal. And to supplement that family income, he also received payments from the state of California for the adoption on a monthly basis, which would pay for house payments and things that were essential for our home and our lives. And now as a student, I do whatever I can through whatever money I receive, whether it be through work study, to help him out any way I can and go up to Portland as often as I can when he is sick. And during this time, I was enrolled in the Reynolds School District, where I excelled academically and I excelled as a student leader. In my high school, I served as editor of my school newspaper, a student body president, and a student athlete involved in varsity swimming and soccer, and was one of 14 valedictorians at the end of my high school career. I was committed to college and knew that I could find a way to go to college, but I wasn't aware of how much college costs until I started looking for colleges. But I was also very aware that my family and my father could not afford to send me to college and that I needed to find another source of funding since, you know, we couldn't pay, like my father couldn't pay the rent, and so I needed to be independent so I could do that myself. And so I applied to 4 colleges. Since I was valedictorian, I was widely sought after by other colleges. And so I applied to 4 colleges and was accepted to all 4, including the University of Oregon. But one big factor that was prevalent in my search was how much college costs and how I could afford that cost. And no matter how hard I crunched the numbers, I could only see that I could only financially attend the University of Oregon. And so a big part of my aid was the Oregon Opportunity Grant, which in my first year paid $1,300 of my education, which really made it possible for me to attend college. Already I was taking the maximum 18 credits and already working 10 hours at the law school. And the grant really helped me out my freshman year by helping me adjust to college life without having to work two jobs to pay for the tuition. But this year, when the grant was cut by $400, I had to up my work hours, and in that, my schoolwork and my effectiveness on campus as a student leader has been affected a lot. So the grant, in my opinion, I understand the students across Oregon's understand about Oregon's need and Oregon's budget crisis. But I also would like legislators to understand that college is a huge commitment for students, and we need legislators to take that huge priority in higher education and to not cut the grant anymore, because we want legislators to take an investment in Oregon students and make legislators make that investment in Oregon's future, because students who come from Oregon can go everywhere else and go to other states and go to school. But students who come here should be really congratulated and should be helped with financial aid in going to Oregon schools. So I thank you very much for your time, and we'll take any questions if you would like.
I do have a question for you. You had four options.
Mm-hmm.
The other three, were they in-state?
No, they were out-of-state
schools.
Out-of-state. Yes.
What were those out-of-state schools?
It was Northwestern University and Pepperdine University and the University of Washington.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Please.
Chair Gordley, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jennifer Gaynor. I'm currently the State Affairs Director for the Associated Students of Lane Community College in Eugene, a member of the Oregon Community College Student Association, and also working with Oregon Student Association. More importantly, I'm the proud single parent of Nicholas, age 14, who is now 6'2". Travis, age 12, so you can imagine my food budget, and Jacqueline, my daughter, who is 20 and in her third year at Portland State, who unfortunately I cannot help her when things come up, so she's working her way through school. I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself and the price my family and this state has paid for my lack of education. I hope that by hearing our story, you might better understand how important it is for our state to invest in higher education through programs such as the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Due to situations beyond my control, for most of my children's lives, I have been the sole caretaker and provider. For years, I attempted to support my family by being a secretary. I worked 40-plus hours a week, often doing babysitting and cleaning on weekends and nights. However, secretarial wages are not enough to provide for my family's needs. As a result, although I worked very hard, I was never able to attain advancement in my profession to a living wage. In order to supplement my family's poverty, the state of Oregon provided supplements to my income. These included daycare funds. Often my daycare provider made more money from the state of Oregon than I earned at my full-time job. Food stamps, ranging from $100 a month when I was earning about $19,000 with three children, to $400 a month when I was making minimum wage, as well as the Oregon Health Plan, which often covered my whole family because these kind of jobs often do not offer any insurance. In other words, the state of Oregon has been subsidizing a life of poverty for my children and myself, with little or no light at the end of the tunnel. This has cost the state of Oregon and its taxpayers thousands of dollars, and I am not the only family with this story. Several days before Christmas 2 years ago, I was downsized by an Oregon company that was purchased by a corporation. The first thing I did was to go out to Lane Community College. I knew in my heart that the best chance for my family was that I gain an education and, as a result, a living wage job. Also, retirement is looming in the near future, and I have no hope. Being laid off gave me the opportunity to return to school by supplementing my grants and loans with unemployment compensation. This was my big break. In the past, there was no option for me as a parent of three to go to school. However, although our income for four people, when I did apply, the income for four people in the previous year was below poverty level, I was unable to get the opportunity grant because all funds had been dispersed. People don't lay you off, you know, in time to apply for financial aid. It just happens. My situation is not unique. All over Oregon, families are being subsidized in below living wage jobs with little or no help of becoming self-sufficient. Workers like myself are being laid off and looking towards education and training as the best hope for their future. Thank you for your time. Please find it in your hearts to do whatever is possible to fund the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Investing in education is not only an investment in Oregon's families, it's an investment in our state's future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Please.
Chair Gordley, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Miriam Gonzalez, and I am a student at Portland State University. I live in Northeast Portland, where I attended Grant High School and was recognized there as a National Hispanic Merit Scholar. I also come from a low-income single-parent family. My father left my family when I was 8 years old, leaving my mother, who had previously not been employed for 5 years, to raise my sister and me on her own. We had to sell our house and a number of our possessions and move into a small apartment, which none of us were used to. After I graduated from high school, I was contemplating where to attend college or if I should even attend at all. I made the decision to apply to Portland State, knowing that not only would I be eligible for a relatively affordable, in my opinion, in-state tuition, but also for need-based financial aid, which in Oregon is solely the Oregon Opportunity Grant. I knew that neither my mother nor the rest of my family would be able to assist me with tuition or fees, making financial aid really the utmost importance to me and my family. Once I was accepted to PSU, I faced the issue of having to take out federal loans to cover my tuition. However, I was fortunate enough to receive the Oregon Opportunity Grant during the 2001-2002 school year, which convinced me that I would, in fact, be able to attend college, which had been my primary concern when applying. The grant enabled me to attend a university as a science major, which had been a dream of mine. This all changed, however, during the summer of 2002. I discovered last August that due to cuts in the program, I would not be able to receive the Oregon Opportunity Grant any further. And although I have been able to manage continuing school through my job, which is really a labor of love, I put in about 30 hours a week and get about $420 a month, and that's before taxes. I live at home. I live in my mom's basement because I can't afford to pay rent on $420 a month. I've had to increase my loans, and due to the surcharge that was levied with the failure of Measure 28, those loans had to increase to cover that. And, you know, things like that. I have had to cut costs left and right, but not everyone is even as lucky as I am. Since I was already a student when I was cut from the grant, I made the commitment to continue on as a student. I cannot say that I would have done the same had I not already been enrolled in college and if I had not been receiving the grant at that point. Cuts to the Oregon Opportunity Grant program will mean that students in a similar situation to my own will never try to attend college because they won't believe that they can afford it. The grant had a huge impact on my decision to attend college, and it does for many other students also. That is why I think that this program is so crucial to Oregon and to Oregon's future. I understand that the legislature is in a very difficult position right now. However, this grant changed my life, and it has the potential to change the lives of many other future students. Thank you, and I'm open for any questions.
Thank you all for your testimony. Listening to you is a reminder of the power of stories, the power of personal stories, and they certainly, all of your stories, help us better understand the magnitude of the choice and also help us better understand what we will be losing if we don't make this investment. Thank you very much. Thank Representative you. March.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Take another opportunity to plug a bill that I have that would not only replace the lost lottery funds, but approximately a third of the way to getting to 15%. And it's by reducing a couple of tax breaks. And I would urge each of you to write your home representatives in particular, Gabe, in that I believe your state representative might have an influence on this. And we're not just talking about funding at this level. I would like to see the Oregon Opportunity Grant increased. We're not meeting the need now, and cutting back on that at this time is just the wrong investment. It's the wrong place to cut back, and so I urge all of you who have an interest in funding education to write your state representatives and senators and make sure that they know what the importance of this is. Thank you.
And as you're writing, remember Article 9, Sections 2 and 6. I know you're all going to run out and get the Constitution and look that up, right? Okay. We have two more folks signed up, and they are Alejandro Gutierrez and Elijah, is it Malowski? Mike Lowski. Is there anyone else wishing to testify? Okay, these will be our last two good folks. Mr. Gutierrez.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Alejandro Gutierrez. I'm currently attending Willamette University. I graduated from a K high school here in Salem and earned over a 3.5 high school GPA while preparing to attend a college. There are six children in my family, and my mother is currently unemployed. Therefore, my father is our principal wage earner, but he earns less than $30,000 a year. It was a dream for me to attend Willamette University, but even though I knew that I could save some college costs by staying at home and commuting, I wasn't sure I'd be able to find all the resources necessary to fund my college education. The Oregon Opportunity Grant has been absolutely crucial to my attendance at Willamette. It has provided me with over $3,000 a year in my attendance, and without this funding, there'd be no way that I could would have been able to pursue higher education at any four-year college, much less the college of my choice. I have also shouldered my share of loan aid, and I will graduate with over $25,000 in student loans. I'm very grateful for the State of Oregon grant assistance that I have received. It has made it possible for me to be the first one in my family to attend a university, and it will be a proud day for me and my family when I graduate from Willamette in May. Please understand how crucial the Oregon Opportunity Grant has been in making my educational dreams a reality. And it is my hope they will continually support the funding of this program to the fullest possible extent so that other students in my situation will have the chance to make the same choices that I've made and have the opportunity to have a higher education. Thank you.
Thank you. And what are your plans after graduation?
I plan to take a year off, but at the same time work at the juvenile court and study for the LSAT so I can apply for a law school.
A law school in Oregon?
Hopefully in Willamette.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yes. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Melanie Duvall, and I'm a student at Mount Hood Community College. I'm also the Director of State and Federal Affairs for the Associated Student Government, and I do that impartial to fund my education. I get a 12-credit tuition waiver. I'm here today. I don't receive the Oregon Opportunity Grant, but I'm here to speak on behalf of the students that do. My husband and I are what Oregon considers the working poor. My husband works 50 hours a week as a machine operator so that I can attend school. He works swing shift so that my child, because we cannot afford daycare. So I go to school in the morning and he comes home and he stays home and then I come home to stay with the kids. We don't qualify for the Oregon Opportunity Grant. I feel like we've been very fortunate that between federal Perkins loans and grants through the federal government and Stafford loans, I've been able to continue to attend school along with my tuition waiver. But I'm speaking for the 600-plus students at Mount Hood who do receive the Oregon Opportunity Grant. I know that it is a struggle every month for us just to be able to make our finances and still attend school. Spring term, it will cost over $700 for tuition and over $300 for books at a community college. Without my tuition waiver, I would not be able to attend. Even with the tuition waiver and loans, I still have a $3,000 shortfall every year. So, of those students, they were affected when Measure 19 was passed. Students were told after being promised a certain percentage of money towards their education, they were told that they would no longer have those funds for winter and spring term. And consequently, some students I know had to drop out of school because there just was not enough funding. So I urge you to continue to support this bill and continue to support the Oregon Opportunity Grant so more students can attend. There will be students next year who will be affected by this that will no longer be able to attend college. This can make the difference between going to school and not going to school, being able to support their family and not being able to support their family. So thank you.
Thank you for coming forward. Thank you. Sir.
Chair Grodin Lee and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Elijah Michalowski, and I actually currently work in the building. I am a legislative assistant for Representative Schaffler, but I am a recent graduate of Portland State University, and before that I went to Southern Oregon University. Throughout my college career, I did receive the Oregon Opportunity Grant all but 1 year, and I can tell you that the difference that it made in that 1 year, and
luckily I had taken a year off and worked, and I had some reserves and I had some credit built up. But that 1 year that I didn't have the Oregon Opportunity Grant, I completely tapped out all reserves I had. And if I hadn't gotten it the next year, I don't know that I would have been able to figure out how to afford or to pay for my senior year of college. A little bit of background. I come from, you know, your typical Oregon, somewhat rural, working class family. There's four kids in my family, and the entire time I was in college, my parents had myself and one of my siblings to worry about in college. My older brother before me and my younger sister after me. And they had a hard enough time with their own mortgage. And, you know, occasionally they could help out occasionally, but for the most part, I had to put myself through college. I worked up to three jobs at any given point. I was in the AmeriCorps, which helped pay for something. But even all of that, I graduated from a state school with $25,000 in debt. And I was looking at becoming a teacher, and I have decided not to do that because I can't afford to take on another $15,000 in debt for a total of $40,000 in debt for what we pay our teachers in the state. And I, working in this building, I truly understand the budget problems that we have in the state, and I know that we're just running out of money and we don't have money. But I also know, as I watched my boss in committee the other day, and the vice president for Intel was here, or the House Business Labor and Community or Business Labor and Consumer Affairs Committee, and he was talking about how important it is for a business like his to be, how important it is for education, a strong education system, and strong graduates. It's in people to be able to afford their education for a business like his to succeed in a state like ours, and how that in the current climate, he's not sure that they would have chosen Oregon if they had it to do over again. And I think that's a very strong statement about, you know, how we make our priorities. And I think that if we're, yes, we're definitely in a huge hole, but if we want students like myself and future students in my current situation to be able to get that higher education, to be able to add to a strong economy, this is an investment that we can't afford not to make. And thank you for your time.
You make a very fine argument, and I hope that you will take Article 9, Section 2 and 6 back to your representative. The testimony that we've heard this morning has been very powerful, very pointed. Again, the personal stories help all of us as legislators better understand the public policy impacts, the people impacts of the decisions that we're faced with. And although you didn't see all of the members here for the duration of the meeting, please know that members often order the audio tapes or the videotapes, or their staffs are paying attention to what's being said, what's being presented in committee. So again, we appreciate that you are all here. And if there is no one else who wishes to testify, we will adjourn. Representative March, please.
I would also encourage any of those of you who did not testify, if you wish to testify in writing, you may do so, and we will enter it into the record and distribute anything you send to us to the rest of the committee. And I just wanted to make this one comment, that this is supposed to be the land of opportunity, and education is the door to that opportunity, and we are in the process of closing the door. And I'm very disturbed about it, and will continue fighting, as I know this good senator will as well. Thank you.
Absolutely. Again, there are proposals in this building to increase revenue, and we ask that you pay attention to those proposals and help those of us who want to press for increased revenue to do that. With that said, this hearing is adjourned.
I'm back in time for it to be over, huh?
Yep.